Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Cape Cod Bay is officially open for business as a seasonal ban on lobster fishing lifts today. The state's Division of Marine Fisheries pauses lobstering every year in an effort to protect the North Atlantic right whale, an endangered species with a population just over 400. The annual lobstering ban begins in February and typically lasts 3 months. But as the calendar flipped to May this year, right whales were still in the area, so the state extended the moratorium on lobster fishing. That prompted lobstermen to stage a protest in Plymouth yesterday. They say Massachusetts lobstermen already do more than their fair share to protect the whales and can't afford to delay their fishing season. Dave Cassoni participated in the protest. He's a lobsterman based in Sandwich, and we asked him how the fishing ban affects him.
Realize that at least one quarter of the year has been removed from harvesting the lobsters. Not that that one quarter of the year is the most active time for us, because it's the winter. The weather is not always accommodating, and we realize that.
So when you are lobstering, Dave, what precautions do you take to try to protect whales so that they don't get tangled?
All right. We have in the industry, and Massachusetts, by the way, was the very first to enact a lot of stuff to protect the whales. Our industry in Massachusetts, we've done the most. We have breakaways, weak links at the buoy. If where the vertical line comes, you realize you have a trap on the bottom. It could be in a string of traps, a trawl, but then there's a line that goes to a buoy. We have a weak area at the surface that will break at like 500 pounds pressure, which is a mosquito bite to a 40-ton whale.
I see. But there is some debate, though, Dave, about how much impact the gear can have, positively or negatively. I mean, we spoke earlier with Pete Kandrick, who's a 25-year-old lobsterman fishing out of Plymouth. He says he doesn't think the gear does really much of anything.
With all the things that we do, personally, for modifying gear, changing out lines, markings, in my opinion, it has done nothing to help or hurt fishermen or the whales. It more looks like better on the paper and point a finger to if a whale ever got entangled and died.
So what do you think about that, Dave? I mean, Pete is wondering whether the breakaway lines really are any better, that maybe it's just optics to look good.
Well, first of all, we have no parameters to know whether they work or not. In other words, if we go out and a buoy is gone, we have no idea why that buoy is gone. Was it an encounter with a whale that broke it off? So, yeah, that would be a frustration point to an awful lot of people. But, again, there is no indication that it doesn't work.
So what are you looking for then, Dave, from the public and from government officials? I mean, is it reimbursement for those losses? Is it just someone to acknowledge that you're bearing the pain of trying to save these whales? What are you hoping for?
Well, basically, you know, everybody is out there studying the whales. You realize that there is an entire industry. People will say, oh, the economics of the whale watch industry is a value to the Commonwealth. Basically, to us, it's an expense. It costs us by not going out. Of course, it would be great to be compensated, but we're not looking for that. What we have to do is we have to become very realistic in the approaches we're going. And the realistic approach is how much has to be done in order to save it. No one, and we realize this, no one wants a major species to go extinct on their watch. I'll back up a little bit, too. We're not placing blame anywhere, but not one northern right whale death has been attributed to coastal Massachusetts lobster gear.
Although, Dave, though, there is a federal survey that shows that between 2010 and 2014 that 82% of right whale deaths nationwide were caused by entanglement. So whether it's happened here or not, it is a real threat.
We understand that. Where else in that world are there as extensive impact on an industry with closures and all the rest that's being done other than in Cape Cod Bay?
So your concern is that by saving whales, you're hurting people?
Well, you're hurting a little microcosm of the industry, us, in Cape Cod Bay. I mean, Nowhere else is it closed. I have to say, I can't say nowhere else. They just put closures in the Gulf of St. Lawrence on the Canadians, which hadn't done much up until last year. So we're closed. We're the first ones to have used the breakaways, the sinking ground line, marking. We mark our gear so that that's a blame game, and there has been no blame placed on us. We realize that there are deaths to the whales, but we're not the reason, yet we do the most to conserve that. And so we're not asking to throw other people under the bus. Just let's be reasonable and fair and take a very serious look at it as to where they go. If we have 40 or 50 whales here, where are the other 350 or 400 whales?
That's Lobsterman Dave Cassoni. He fishes out of Sandwich. Dave, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
And joining me now is Regina Esmudez Silvia. She's Executive Director of Whale and Dolphin Conservation North America. Welcome, Regina.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. And I know you just heard Dave Cassoni there. Does he have a point, Regina? I mean, are Massachusetts lobstermen shouldering more of the burden than their counterparts in other states like, say, Maine or even Canada?
I mean, I think in U.S. waters, the Massachusetts lobstermen have definitely been subjected to more regulatory measures than in other places. And unfortunately, that's largely because Cape Cod Bay is one of the few known places where right whales aggregate seasonally. And so they are at a much higher risk in Cape Cod Bay, you know, during the time that they're here, because they're hanging out in these big groups, and it's an important habitat. And there's not a lot of places along the East Coast where we know where they have these big aggregations. So there are some restrictions in the southeast in the calving area for fishing when the whales are down there. There are, as Dave mentioned, some closures now up in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, which is a relatively new place that right whales are starting to aggregate in the summer. So the places where right whales are known to hang out, unfortunately, that's where the conflicts with some of the fixed gear fisheries occur, and that's where some of these regulatory measures start to develop that do impact the fishermen but are done as a means to seasonally try and save these whales.
I see. So there aren't very many of these places where the whales congregate, but in the few that do exist, are they regulated as tightly as Cape Cod Bay?
I think that, you know, Canada has certainly, I mean, they had a terrible year in 2017, and they had 12 whales die. And as a result of that, they did start to last year, and they announced this year that they are going to put some closures in and some pretty strict regulatory measures in to slow ships down. So it's relatively new for that area. For Massachusetts, it's been a little bit more long-term. We've known for a while that these right whales are aggregating here in the late winter and early spring. And so the closure, that's why the closure was put in place here. So I do think that they have had a much longer history with being subjected to regulatory measures in Massachusetts because of the right whale aggregations. And it is the only state that does not have an exemption to sinking ground line. And it is the only state that along the East Coast that has a closure. So, that's very true. The gear marking, unfortunately, it doesn't mark necessarily to Massachusetts, it marks to the northeast region. So when gear's coming off of whales, it's really difficult often to identify, because it's usually the line, it's not the marking buoys, to identify exactly where that entanglement took place. So tracing the locations of where these whales are getting entangled is very difficult.
Regina, let me ask you about the lifting of this seasonal ban, because it comes a day after the lobstermen protested, as we said. But we also know the Division of Fisheries routinely surveys the whale population, and they say they just did an aerial survey and found only one whale still in the bay. So that's why they lifted the ban. I'm curious what your take is. Do you buy that, or do you think the state actually was pressured by the lobstermen?
I don't think they were pressured by the lobstermen. I mean, I have tremendous respect for the state of Massachusetts, who has done an incredible job, I think, of walking a fine line between trying to do what they can to protect the lobster industry as well as to protect the right whales that come into Massachusetts waters. And historically, this is not the first year that the ban has been extended. And what they typically do is the same thing that they did this year, where is that they will work with the Center for Coastal Studies, put a plane up, survey the area. So they extend the ban usually in one-week increments, and then if any of those surveys have shown the whales left, they lift it the second that they can. They don't keep it in place any longer than they had to. So that's happened historically over the past few years, and that's exactly what happened this week as well, is that the plane has been going up every day that the weather has allowed. They knew that right whales were leaving for the past, you know, 4 days that had seen fewer and fewer right whales on surveys. They had a plane up yesterday. It was somewhat serendipitous, I think, that this event occurred on the same day that the plane happened to come back and say that they had one whale in the bay. So
that lines up well, and now everybody will be at least happy until the next season rolls around, I'm sure. Regina Esmuda-Silvia is Executive Director of Whale and Dolphin Conservation North America. Regina, thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you. Bye.
Stay with us. Coming up, should there be term limits for Jeopardy champs? We'll hear from a local winner. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.